The subject for today, and we will start having bulletins again next week, right? Next week. So if you had your bulletin today, although it gave me a couple weeks off from writing the article too, so we both got to breathe just a little bit, is celestial potluck. And here's the problem, is that up to yesterday, we were supposed to have a potluck, thus I chose the subject, so you're stuck with it. Now, the good news is this. The good news is this. I was going to keep the talk short so that we could escape to the potluck quickly. Thus, you're stuck with the subject, but you also get the timing. So we should be okay, if I don't keep going on into sparrows and stuff like that. And we do have people all over, so it's a reasonable thing. We've got, I think, Tracy and her family, Tracy John, they're up Alaska way. We have Winslow and his beautiful wife down in Puerto Rico. I would actually have to leave a little early to buzz off to San Francisco. So please do think about what the next best date would be in August. And it may be that we just do the last week in August. But let's think about it and we'll all plan it together, and that way nobody will have an excuse. Now, when you think of potlucks, do you salivate at all? I've been to some pretty good ones. And some not so good ones. Generally, that means that I waited last in line and there probably wasn't quite enough food for everybody. And we actually attended a Chinese church in Sydney. Now, we do not speak any dialect from China, but what they would do is they would always translate. If it was an English speaker, then they'd translate into Chinese. What is the main Chinese dialect? Cantonese? Mandarin? If it was the opposite, they'd translate into English. But after every service, they had a potluck. And this was great food. See, my wife will confirm that. That's what I always do. If I say something I don't believe, I'll just point to my wife.
You walked up to, if you were a guest, more.
Exactly. Well, I've got that in my notes. And even though it was a Chinese potluck, technically, you'd think they were Italian, because like an Italian mother, they were always saying, you want some more? You want some more? You want some more? And if what was nice is you didn't feel guilty if you didn't bring anything. It wasn't really viable for us because we had to take the train and stuff. But you gave like a $2 coin, and that way kind of covered the extra that they'd bring. Great food. Now, let me ask you this. Did you immediately say, when I mentioned it? Yep, my wife agrees. How about you? Have you experienced, other people here, good potlucks, not so good potlucks? What is your favorite potluck food? All of it, very good. Especially since it's zero calories. Now, when I didn't worry about carbohydrates, one thing that I really liked about Seventh-day Adventist potlucks is they had a lot with beans. And even though there was a little danger with closed windows on the way home because of that, the reality is you can do some pretty good things with beans. But that's not my favorite Adventist potluck food. Has anybody here ever heard of a haystack? Yeah, so you take Frito-Lays, and then you put vegetarian chili, and then cheese, and then lettuce, then tomatoes, then black olives, then, I mean, you can pick and choose what you want on it. Does that sound good? And I could stand up here and try to figure out just what I need to say with each one of you to have you become like a Pavlov's dog and get you salivating. But we are in a church, and this is a sermon, so I suppose at some point we have to switch to spiritual things. And with the title Celestial Potluck, I will have to admit, I couldn't think of any case in the Bible where it actually talks about a potluck. But I could think of a case where it talks about a banquet. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a banquet we've been invited to. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 24. Luke 14, 16 through 24. And this is a great kind of potluck because you don't have to bring anything, just yourself. Luke 14, 16 through 24. Are we there? He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, we're going to go, I started back too far. Let's go with 16 like I said it was. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled, and blind and lame. And the servant said, Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. I'm clearly going to be tongue-tied today. And the master said to the servant, Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now, before we talk about this, let's turn back just a little bit, Matthew chapter 22, because Matthew 22 has a very similar parable. It's about a wedding banquet, but it adds something at the point where the servants have been sent out to get more people. So let's look at Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at 10 through 14. And I will try to slow my tongue down so I do less tripping. Matthew 22, 10 through 14. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Well, that's good news. Finally found enough. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, in neither of those references do we get any indication that we're going to be able to enjoy haystacks in heaven. Although maybe we can have those when we do finally get to Greg Lake. But we can learn quite a bit about the banquet invitation that we have gotten, the banquet that we've all been invited to. First, and probably most obviously, is when you get the invitation, you should not reject it. I don't think God gets angry like we get angry, but let me ask you this. Was God just saddened by the new field owner or the person who just bought 5 ox? Although I don't know, I guess it could be 10 ox. I don't know how those ox things work. Or the newlywed who gave up the party for his wife? Was he just saddened by their response? No, he was actually more than just a bit miffed. He was downright furious that they had rejected his invitation. Now, do I think that means that God had that written to say that he is very, very, very angry with people who reject salvation, who reject his invitation? No. But I do think what he's saying is that it is a really, really, really bad thing to do. He's trying to make a point. Just like when Jesus talks about hell, he's trying to make a point. He's trying to communicate just how bad a decision it would be. And God wasn't just saddened. God was, the person who would represent God within the parable, was angry. Second, connected with the first, and perhaps a little bit loosely from the verses that we actually read, do not hesitate to attend. It's one thing to reject, but from what we learn about the banquet, you shouldn't even hesitate to attend. As Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That was in response to someone who asked if he could say farewell to his family, which seems like a reasonable request, doesn't it? Just, I'm coming. If you don't mind, I just want to say goodbye to my wife. But Jesus responded, like I just read to you. And the reason he did that is, Jesus knew people's hearts, and he knew what seemed like a reasonable request was hiding hesitation. that gentleman wasn't really committed. And if you think that that's bad, think of what was just before it. Remember what Jesus said to the person who asked if he could just take the time to go bury his father? It's just before that one. He says, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's Luke 9:60. The reality is when you get the invitation, you should RSVP as quickly as possible. Don't hesitate. Third, we can learn from the parables. God is doing everything he can to fill the banquet. God is doing everything he can to fill the banquet. And we actually should be very thankful for that, because the original invitees, what would you call the people who get invitees? The original invitees who rejected the invitation probably symbolize Israel. So the rabble, and we are rabble, aren't we? So the rabble that then got invited represent us. So we should be very thankful that God is doing everything he can to fill the banquet hall. Now, I think, and we don't have time, I can show you pretty clearly that God always intended to loop the Gentiles in. Jesus' parables, the ones that we just read portions of, show us just to what extent he's willing to go, which we should be very, very thankful for. And I praise God for that, because I am one of the worst rabble and one of the most undeserving. So if God had kept the limit to people who dress nicely, and I'm left out. Fourth, that we can learn from this, is the only way in is through Christ. That the only way in is through Christ. Remember the last guy? That's why I wanted to bring in what Matthew said. What was wrong with the last guy? He wasn't wearing wedding garments. So the question, of course, is where do you get the wedding garments? Let's look to Isaiah to get that answer. So we're going to look at Isaiah 61, verse 10. Are we there? Isaiah 61, 10. Luckily, Isaiah is one of those big books, so it's easy to find. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Okay. Now I know that Isaiah doesn't speak of Jesus specifically in talking about the garments. But I'm going to assume everybody sitting here has read the little phrase on the bottom of the sign out there. It says, I am the way and the truth and the life. How does it continue if we were to look in John 14:6? What's it say? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That garment is Jesus. There is no way into the banquet except through Jesus. I promise to keep the talk short, so I'm going to make two more points. Although as I read through my notes, you might count them as three. But technically, trust me, that last point is really just the second point over again. First, as you consider the Lord's invitation to the wedding banquet, we need to be aware that there are only two options as to where we're going to eat. There are only two options as to where we're going to eat. Paul shares those mutually exclusive alternatives with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I should also note, as I'm switching there, that letting the invitation expire is a decision. It can't be one of those, I just won't accept either invitation. If you don't accept the Lord's invitation, you are implicitly accepting another one. So 10:18, and we're going to read through to 22. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? As I've mentioned in a previous sermon, you will either pull up a chair to God's table, or you will pull up a chair to the devil's table. If you reject God's invitation, then you are accepting Satan's, or if you let his invitation, God's invitation, time out. Now, God does cry. One of the things I feared in putting us together, then it sounds like you get one shot. I'm not saying that. I do think that God does keep trying to get us to accept his invitation. But if you keep putting it off to bury your father or say goodbye to your family, and you die before you get your act together, then you have to think about Hebrews 9:27, which reminds us that it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. You will wake up seated at the devil's table. Now, the final point I want to make is thanks to Revelation 19:9. And it's funny, for some reason, when I think of the banquet in heaven, I always think of Revelation, and as I went through it, it really doesn't say a whole bunch about it. But it does say this, Revelation 19:9. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. These are the true words of God. What's interesting is it says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And remember where we started off in Luke? If I'd just gone a verse earlier in verse 15, it says this. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to them, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. That's what started off the parable. The angel in Revelation said those were true words of God, being blessed by being in the banquet. Are there truer words? I don't think so. Now, keeping it as short as I have, I haven't done anything to kind of prove how amazing the banquet's going to be. I did do a sermon where I talked about how great heaven was going to be. Anybody remember that one? Just all nod your head, say yes, that way I'll feel better. Go ahead. But the reality is, if you think about it, the reality is no matter how amazing or exotic the place is, no matter how great the food at the potluck is, no matter how kicking the band is, or, in deference to Scott and his girlfriend, how kicking the DJ is, when you think about banquets or potlucks that you have enjoyed, what really mattered? The people, right? The company, the people you were with. And every week, we are blessed to be able to partake in the Lord's Supper. Let's turn to Matthew when Matthew records Jesus giving the institution. So that's Matthew 26:26-29. Matthew 26:26-29. Are you there? Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now let's listen to this. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The reason that we should not reject God's invitation, the reason we should not hesitate to accept God's invitation, the reason we should be grateful that God has gone through such great effort to invite us, the reason we should put on the wedding clothes that Jesus gave us on the cross is because of who will be attending the banquet with us. Jesus will be attending, and he has been waiting to drink the fruit of the vine with us for over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years. The invitation from him is set before you. Will you reject it? Will you hesitate? Or will you RSVP right now? I suggest the latter. Thank you.